Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm looking forward to our video as I believe each one of these have an inspiration to them to inspire you to let God become real in your life. Last week we talked about recognizing God. We're going to go a little bit further in that. And we've been talking on these subjects for now weeks, and we're going to keep on doing it with little tiny nuances for you to include into your life and to become aware of that will make Jesus real to your heart. Well, we go over to Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30, and it says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." So we are coming now to a particular passage in John chapter 18, where we're going to show you how some of this works as far as prayers being answered and God being real to you. We've been talking about recognizing God, and I think this is a great passage that'll help you to see it really clearly. So John 18, 1 through 11. So let's go there right now. And it says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Who are you seeking?' And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, along also stood with them. Now, when he said this, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Whom are you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which was spoken, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" Well, I wanted to share this with you because I wanted you to see the daringness of Peter. What would make Peter so bold? Now, number one, we have a personality type that's probably an A personality straight across the board. In other words, he is a very daring personality. He seems to be one that doesn't have a problem acting before he really thinks on things, walking on the water, and then he began to look at the winds and the waves. So he seems to be very spontaneous, which means he's probably not a very fearful individual. He probably does have a demeanor of great confidence. He might be an intimidating type of a person. He might be real bold and real loud, but he seems to be very decisive. What would make him take out a sword and go after the high priest's servant? And he wasn't just trying to take an ear off. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take an ear off and we'll stop this whole squadron of soldiers coming to get Jesus. No, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. He was going for his throat. He was going for his head. He was trying to put him down as the beginning of going after all those soldiers. Now, what gave him that audacity? Well, do you remember certain stories like when Jesus was in his own hometown there in Mark chapter 6, and he tried but could not to do mighty miracles? And the reason is because he marveled because of their unbelief. Maybe it's because, you know, when he was talking about, you know, how he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and how he was anointed to heal the sick, cleanse the leper. He was anointed, you know, to release the captives and preach the gospel to the world. Luke chapter 4 message. In that message, the people were listening with big ears because he was reading from the book of Isaiah. They understood that passage. It was about the Messiah. And he closed the book and he said, today, this saying has come true in your hearing. In other words, he just declared himself to be the Messiah. And at that, they said, who in the world do you think you are? We saw you grow up. You're just Joseph's boy. In fact, we watched you in the carpentry business. You're no Messiah. And they became greatly offended at him because of what he said. Now, in that offense, they got so mad that they began to gnash their teeth. If you want to know what that spirit looks like, just look at the world today when people are with great hatred trying to go after one another. It's really vile. It's very, very demonic. That's the same spirit that tried to put Jesus in the grave. Well, even as the scripture lets us know, the Bible says they were to throw him over the brow of the hill. For what purpose? That he might get a couple of bruises? No, they were ready to kill him. And what did it say about Jesus? He just walked right through the midst of them and no one touched him. Well, don't you know that Peter was there watching this? Don't you know that the disciples were probably saying among themselves, I mean, what in the world just happened? One moment they had him, and the next moment he walks right through the midst of them, and they don't even touch him as though he wasn't there. Maybe we could go there a little bit, but that's for another subject. What I'm trying to say here is that Peter's proximity, closeness, relationship, being with Jesus for day after day, began to develop in him the same overcoming awareness of victory that Jesus had in his soul. It was catchy, the spirit of faith. You catch it by being around somebody. And Jesus was just exuding this faith and this confidence that no one would take his life. He said that his father gave him the command over in John 10 to lay his life down and to take it back up, that no one could take it. Well, how does that translate when he's got 12 disciples with him, his buddies that he's training, and one of them's a personality ready to just take on the troops? Don't you think Jesus put in Peter day after day such a spirit of victory that that's the reason why he drew his sword out? He's with Jesus and no one's gonna take him. And just a few seconds ago, Jesus said to their question, whom are you asking for? Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I am he. And the power of God caused every one of them to fall on their backs. You know, if I was the head of the squadron of soldiers and I went to ask somebody for their name to make sure we were getting the right guy, and the next thing I knew was my whole squadron and I were peeling ourselves off the ground from our backs, not really knowing how we got there, but definitely knowing that we were there. And the last thing we did was to ask his name. And the last thing he said is, I am he. I think I would have just said to everybody, we've got the wrong guy. And I would have gone the other way. All of that contributes to the boldness of Peter. Think about this because it's so, so very important. Now, let's look over in John, let's look a little bit further, in John chapter 18 and see what happens. As Jesus knew that this was a part of what was necessary, that he would go to the cross. Now, the soldiers really didn't take him as much as Jesus went with them. This is very interesting, but very important too. Okay, so now it goes on to say, and Simon Peter, verse 15, followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Because now Jesus has been taken by the Sanhedrin and by the centurions to be questioned, and then, of course, following that, to be flogged and crucified upon the cross. Now, the disciple that was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, that would have been John. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? Now the girl who's guarding the door lets Peter in because she knew John. And when she let Peter in, she said, you're not one of these disciples, are you? And what did Peter say? No, I'm not. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And then it goes on to say, down in verse 25, it says, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of the disciples, are you? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? And then Peter denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. So I want to ask you the question, what happened to the boldness of Peter? I'm going to ask you one more time, what happened to the boldness of Peter? The boldness of Peter was attached to the person of Christ. It was Jesus in his glory, walking as a son of God, walking as the Son of Man with authority, living out the will of the Father, backed up by the Holy Ghost and angels to do the will of God, where no man would take him, he would, though, lay his life down, that gave those disciples such authority and such boldness. And Peter, being one of the boldest, displayed it multiple times with, in a sense, you could say, great excitement, great enthusiasm, and great demonstration. Okay, come on, we're going somewhere. If Peter, by being with Jesus, could become that bold and demonstrate so many amazing testimonies, what about Jesus living in us? How's that going to look? Because we know what happened when Jesus was taken away from Peter. All of his strength and boldness went with Jesus and was no longer in him. He couldn't even defend the Lord. Where's his boldness then? It has everything to do with recognizing the Lord, recognizing God. All right, come on, let's just go a couple more minutes here and then we can be done. But it goes over here in John chapter 20, 19 to 25. I want to read that for just a second, because this is Jesus coming and then beginning to rebuke them. All right, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, beginning in the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Why did they shut the doors? Well, because Jesus had been crucified and he was no longer in a position, of authority. Come on, everybody gets it wrong. They were thinking that Jesus was coming as a political Messiah to get an army together and take over the world. He came as a lamb, and that lamb turned out to be the head of all governments. Praise the Lord. So here they missed that particular understanding. When Jesus was gone, they fell apart. And it says they had the door shut, for they were afraid of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, so also I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Come on, look at what took place here. Where's all their boldness? Again, their boldness is attached to what? Their boldness is attached to the proximity of Jesus, the relationship and the tangibility of Christ, the fact that Jesus is right there with them. And when he's not right there with them, when they think that destruction has come and struck, guess what? They're just as weak as anyone else that has no hope because they don't have a Savior. Come on, this gets better and better. I think we have a little bit of time. I'm not real sure. I'm going maybe a little too long, but Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Come on, I want to get this for you here. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. We know this scripture. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, what just happened? The great promise of the Holy Ghost that Jesus spoke to them and said, don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. And there were 120 people that were actually obedient to the command of Jesus. And they were in the upper room waiting on God, and the Spirit of God filled that room. I believe, I know this is a little silly, but in a sense, I believe they immediately recognized the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of their Lord and Savior. If Jesus wore a cologne and had a wonderful fragrance about him, I believe when the wind was blowing, because you know, when wind blows, there are smells. You know, in the springtime, you get around an apple orchard or a peach orchard or a cherry orchard and the blossoms are out. When the wind blows, it just smells so good, doesn't it? Well, if you lived, a mile away from a garbage dump and the wind blew from the dump towards your house, you'd be going, oh my gosh, can you smell that? It's kind of funny, but when we traveled for years and years down to the south, we would be driving at night, and all of a sudden you'd go through a town where there was a paper mill. And at nighttime, they let off the steam from that paper mill, and it always smelled really bad. And you always knew you were in a town where there was a paper mill. I believe when the wind started blowing, they immediately could tell, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And then the presence of God upon them, fire upon them, and speaking in other tongues. Were they aware of God? Oh, my goodness, of course they were aware of God. And I love this passage about Luke 9 in the Message Bible, 34 and 35. It says, while he, Peter, was babbling on like this, a light radiant cloud enveloped them, and they found themselves buried in the cloud, and they became deeply aware of God. Then there was a voice out of that cloud that says, this is my son, the chosen. Listen to him. Notice what it said. They became deeply aware of God. Don't you love that? They became deeply aware of God. This is the reality that we have in Christ. And I finish with this. You know, the last things somebody says are just as important as the first things somebody says. Jesus made sure when he left, he told the disciples, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. What was he trying to bring them? He was trying to get them to believe that the Lord was with them. Because as you believe that he is with you, you begin to sense that he's there. This whole thing comes right back to believing, folks. You can't get around it. I mean, why would there be a movement of teaching in the word of faith? Regardless of whether you think every particle of that teaching was spot on, or it could have been done a little this way or a little that way, regardless of how you see all of the individuals right now walking in the word of faith, whether you feel like they're actually full of faith or not, why do you think there was an emphasis? Why did Jesus tell Brother Hagin, go teach my people faith? Because even these things we share still take your belief that he's right there. And the more you believe he's right there, the more I promise you, you'll begin to sense that he's there. We're living in a negative world, folks. And if a demon comes into your house, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. How come you recognize that? Because we're very aware of negativity. Well, it's time to shift the paradigm, become aware of the spiritual goodness of God, so that you're aware with hair that sticks up on the back of your neck of the presence of the Lord that's here and there with you right now. I'm telling you, God is healing people right now as I speak. There's headaches going on and there's pressure in the head, and you're wondering whether or not you've got some type of virus like that's been going around in the earth today in the last year. But I'm speaking against that in the name of Jesus, that you're perfectly fine in every way. In fact, there's somebody right now that you're going to get yourself a job exactly what you were desiring for, and you've been putting in applications for this job, and it's not come to pass like you think, but the Lord said right now, you just hold on, you just believe in me, for that job is on the way. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience for the Lord to just move in your life. Oh, God's doing something right now to someone's stomach. Come on, these are the graces of God that we're talking about. These nuances, I'm telling you, somebody's been having a problem as far as the way that you go, and God's going to release you from that, and you're going to find victory, praise the Lord. There'll be no more tightness, and there'll be no more excruciating pain in your belly. You can go ahead and eat without fear, for the Lord has set you free. Somebody's sciatica is no longer a difficult or painful sciatica. It's right back where it ought to be, like God created it to be. Wow, praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus is so real, and he's doing things for you today. We'll stop right here, folks. Can't wait for the next session. Jesus is real. He's coming again. Oh my goodness, if there is a time for you to be with the Lord, don't be tricked by this present tense world. Lose sight of who Jesus is. Think that there's multiple ways to receive going to heaven. Come on, know that there's only one person that came out of the grave that's still alive that could change the nature of man, and that is Jesus Christ. Jump right in. The King is coming. He's coming. Oh, glory to God, he's coming. See you next time. Bye.